And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 866. We're going to recap the week 16 and Fab, talk some more like injuries and players to potentially drop as the season is dwindling down, about 10 or 11 more weeks of Fab to go, depending on what you consider. I think it's 10 weeks. Who knows? We'll see how it goes from there. But we're getting to the All-Star break next week. We're almost done. We're halfway through. It's crazy. It went by this fast. In order to help me break everything down, as usual, my co-host of the show, you can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Benton, how you doing, my friend?
I'm looking forward to that All-Star break, Bubba. My one team needs it. But yeah, it is kind of sad, though, to your point, that we're already here. In my mind all these weeks, I'm like, oh, yeah, we're not even halfway done yet, but now we're over halfway done yet. So then it's I don't know, but we still have 2 months of summer to go still, at least. And I, now that I'm not in school, you know, September's like a summer month anyway. So it's not all doom and gloom, I don't think. But yeah, we had a lower spending week in Fab again. Jared Jones, of course, like we were saying last week, kind of spiked things a tad, but generally speaking, compared to other weeks, definitely a lot less action than we're used to.
Yep. A lot less action used to. It's a constant trend. Even with Hunter Green this week, it was a lower than average week. Real quick, though, on your summer deal, I'm bitter, and I was, you know, old man on my lawn with one of my buddies yesterday, actually, while we were watching the World Cup and the Mexico game. We were joking because, like, both of our kids go to school together, and we were like angry because they start school on August 9th. I'm like, what happened to getting 3 months off for a year? And then we started getting really angry because it's all the administrative days. And like, the school system is a joke nowadays. Like, summer used to be the best because you got 3 months, you got to do all kinds of fun stuff. Now it's like 2 months for these kids. It's wild. And so, yeah, now that's where I got bitter over the weekend, because he has mentioned, I've got another month to go. And I'm like, I was trying to plan a vacation in August, and I was like, yep, that's not happening now. Sweet. So, sorry. Old man on the lawn had to get that one out of the system real quick, because I missed the good old days. That's for sure.
Well, I know the southern states definitely go back earlier. I wasn't aware of you guys out west doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even funny. They have like one or two administrative days, just random days off a month. It feels like Christmas breaks now. It's a full month instead of like 2 weeks.
Oh, well, that's why you're going through summer.
All these extra days off through the school year is what shrinks the summer. That's what sucks. Like, go back to the old way. Limit the school year days off. Give us the big summer. But
yeah, again, I agree.
On a massive tangent on this, of course. But let's talk about the week 16 Fab. You hinted at it. We'll pull up Ryan's Fab tracker that, if you guys are interested, he even tweeted a little picture of it out on Sunday night. You get on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon for $7 a month. You get all the sheets and fun stuff over there at the Patreon. But Ben, when we look at this sheet, I usually let you have the floor here. What are we checking out this week?
All right, yep. So this is week 16 Fab. And starting with the OCs, like I typically do, we're left with $285 on average per team. That's compared to $275 in 2025. So we're a little behind the pace of last year, which we were last week as well. This week in the OCs, $25 on average per team was spent. That's up from $5 last year. And then last week was $17. So the Jared Jones, emergence into the player pool, if he wasn't drafted, I think is what we could say is behind the spike. And it's not a big spike, but it's definitely up from last year and last week. And then moving to the main event, kind of the same deal, except for we're at 247 now remaining per team on average. So $40 less than the OCs. That's a big difference in my mind. And then that's exactly identical to 2025, which is also 247. That's always fun when it's like that. And then this week in the main event, it was $29 per team on average, up from 22 last week and up from 20 in 2025 in week 16. So Jared Jones' presence was also felt in the main event. And then looking at the ads per league, going back to the OCs, we were at 17, which was the lowest this season. Last 2 weeks was 18 in the OCs per team, or per league, excuse me, number of moves. Now we're under 1.5 moves per team in the OCs last week. And then the main also had its lowest of the season, 27 moves per league, so a little less than 2 per team. And last week and the week before was 28 and 29, so a gradual decline in transactions per league, which shouldn't be too surprising considering football continues to ramp. Teams probably feel like they're out of it in terms of competing for their leagues. And I'm sure it'll plateau at some point, but as for now, it's continuing to drop.
Yep, continuing to drop. It is interesting, as mentioned. I always find it very, like, the main event, basically, even with last year, it's always makes me laugh. And are actually behind in the OC, which is, I think, probably because people, like, to your point, they've kind of checked out already. I've mentioned it on the show for a few weeks now that the OCs are the bidding in OCs. It reminds me every year, like, I was more aggressive this year than in the past. I need to be even more aggressive, is what it comes down to, because I can get by super easy in OCs right now if I am comfortable with my roster. And I'm like, after Hunter Green here, who knows where you're spending your cash when it's all said and done. But with that said, let's get to where the cash was spent this week, Ben. And we will start. We'll focus on OCs first, obviously still talking mains. Then we'll focus, shift over to mains, because that kind of gives most listeners an idea of what's to come in the week ahead at FAB. And we'll start with the most added player in the NFBC Online Championship 12-team leagues. Tyler Wells of the Baltimore Orioles was picked up in 182 OCs, as high as 79, as low as a buck, average of $21. Pretty fair stuff there. Wells was picked up in 59 main events, so now he's rostered in every main event draft as well. High at 96, low as 15, average of 40. Obviously, Ryan Helsley going on the IL. Sounds pretty bad. Wouldn't be shocked if we don't see Ryan Helsley the rest of the season. Wells has picked up saves in back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday for the Baltimore Orioles. He's been a very effective bullpen arm for them for quite some time, Ben. We chatted about him over the weekend. I was very interested for Wells. I picked him up in some leagues. Did not get him where I needed him most, unfortunately. But what were your thoughts on Tyler Wells? Because this is where, as the last 2 to 2.5 months come along, we will find saves. But this, like, again, this could change overnight. But this feels like a pretty good spot right about now.
Yeah, I agree with that, Bubba. The biggest challenge with me, because Wells was my top target across 3 of my 4 Fab leagues where I could use a little boost in saves. My biggest issue, well, like, the biggest thing I was debating was waiting for if I should go big on Wells or if I should wait for the trade deadline, but that's a month away. And I didn't want to waste too much time, because for me to get Wells in my one league, I had to spend, I think it was like $44 or $54 was my money winning bid, which I definitely overspent in the one spot where I got Wells. I'm happy I got him, but it's just, maybe someone on my team, like I have Riley O'Brien on this team, for example, maybe he gets moved and then I need another closer still. So I'm happy that I do have Wells. If you look at roster resource, he's the sole closer by their estimation. If you go to Closer Monkey, he is not, they don't have as a committee. They have him as the preferred save share Wells. So that's, so both sides think that he is the guy. Also, I will say I was fooled by Jacob Junis way back when he got 3 saves versus Wells 2. But at this point in the year, I just wanted to be aggressive, and looks like a lot of other people felt the same way. $40 at this point in the year on a closer for the main event is pretty, it's significant, I would say. And the OCs, 21 is whatever, because I mean, we already mentioned that there's a bigger balance in the OCs anyway, so 21 there isn't nearly as impactful on your budget as $40 in the mains. But with all that said, I Wells, he's been someone I've liked in the past as a starter, and he has a good, like, he doesn't walk people, which is going to help get those 2 saves in a row. Good thing is that he didn't pitch yesterday on Sunday, so if the Orioles do get a save chance today, it's not like one of those situations where he got it like Saturday, Sunday, then he'd be unavailable for Monday type deal, and someone else gets a save, and they're like, oh no, what did I get the wrong guy? Because Kittredge was an option. I know he was fabbed a lot. Yep. There's Rico Garcia, who was also added. These are more 15-team main event ads, and also at cheaper prices, because they didn't, because with Wells getting the most recent saves, he seems like the guy they want to go with. Yeah, and then going on, touching on Helsley, like you did a little bit, I think it was a recurrence of the same elbow injury that kept him out before. Yep. Or a similar injury, and it seems like he could be done for the year. So that's why I was willing to be relatively aggressive on trying to add Tyler Wells. So I was happy I got him in that one spot at least.
Yep, and it's that the Helsley injury comboed with just the injury for one, but what you said about Wells is, I think last year I remember on some shows or in some articles, I wrote, who knows what it was, but I kept saying, like, Wells, when they were having injuries at the back end of the Baltimore bullpen again last year, I was like, Wells is the perfect guy. He's coming off the IL, throw him back there, because I'm like you, I've liked him in the rotation. I thought he had stuff to throw in any, like he's doing now. Like, I think he's a good pitcher. So it would make sense to give him a chance. To your point, real quick, you mentioned Kittredge. He was added in 29 main events, average of $8, high of 41, added in 19 OCs, high of 13, or high of 24, average of 13. So they'll both be, Kittredge would be a popular target if for some reason the Wells thing falls through. And Cousin Rico has picked up in 15 mains, average of 18. Someone won $111. Someone hit the wrong button an extra time, I think. And then he was picked up in 25 OCs. Rico Garcia was, for an average of 19. So people were all over the board. To your point, Wells was obviously the most popular option there, but some were still taking the Kittredge route. Some were still taking the Garcia route. The interesting thing, though, just looking at just saying all that minutia out loud, Ben, is Garcia and Kittredge's averages weren't that far off from Wells, which is interesting because I think you and I and many others think Wells is the guy for now, but the spec picks weren't that far off, which was kind of interesting also.
I was going to say something, but it's not important. Well, you can keep going.
All right. The next most added player in OCs, and I kind of joked last week that he was only added in a few leagues. I was surprised, but Esmerlin Valdez picked up in 181 OCs this past week, as high as 131, average of 26 for Esmerlin. His 75th percentile was 32, so someone was very excited for him. Picked up in the 16 remaining main events, average of 51, high of 80. I loved him. I was taking him last week. We were just like joking after, I think, right after the show ended last week. He went deep again, and we were texting each other like, the dude's crazy, hitting cleanup. There's zero reason Marcelo Zuna should be coming back to that lineup at any time. Again, Pirates can do weird things, Ben, but on paper, this seems like the power hitter everybody looks for as the season goes along, and he looks like he should play every single day.
Yeah, he definitely should, and Dallas was actually available in one of my 15s. I did not get him. I wasn't aggressive enough. So if people listening were like, you, Bubba, and you got him going into this past week, then that's awesome. Like, that's huge. That's a huge win. But then, if I'm looking at his profile, Valdez has a 35% K rate, 36% if you round up. And my concern is if you're adding him now, you're probably going to get a massive slump at some point because he struck out 5 times in week 14 and 16 plate appearances. Then he struck out 10 times this past week in 32 plate appearances. And he hit like 400 combined in those 2 weeks on top of that, or pretty close to it. So if you had him for week 14 on, that's awesome. You're getting probably the best stretch of his career, maybe. And he's got the barrel rate to support the power. You're talking about his barrel rate's like 27. It's insane. 27%. It'd be 100th percentile if he qualified. His exit velocity is above average. A bunch of the Statcast sliders are in the red for Valdez. And even despite the poor K rate, his XBA is 247, and that's because he hits the ball so hard. So as long as he can hit the ball hard enough with the K, I don't say this is going to be sustainable at all, but while he's hot, I think you just keep playing him. And then if you see like a pretty bad over stretch going, you might just want to sit him again until he gets hot, assuming he does. But the Valdez ad was definitely a week or two ago, not necessarily right now. But it could continue the hot streak. I'm just very doubtful that it will, considering his profile.
Oh, there's very much a large potential for a slip-up, to your point. Yeah. He struck out 4 times on Sunday to check that box. There's just so much there is like talent as well. If they play him every day for the rest of the season, or at least, you know, 90% of the time, because guys will get days off, I give you just plug him in. You're going to be happy with the results by the end of the season. Yeah, if you can avoid the slump, even better. Kudos. It'd be awesome. But I think there's a ton. Like, this is a Jorge Soler type profile. We know how good and bad that can be. And that's just the best way I can put it. So, like, if you are someone that likes rostering a Jorge Soler, or maybe a Joe Adell before he started hitting like 260, like, this is the profile you're looking for right here. And just beware, like Ben said, of the good and the bad. But the good can be really good if you can do it. Bad can be really bad also. So kind of check both those boxes for you. All right, the next most added player in the NFBC Online Championships. Wow, didn't think we'd do this year, Ben. Ronaldo Lopez picked up in 134 OCs, high of 155, average 11, 75th percentile, 14. Picked up in 24 main events, high of 75, average of 29. One big reason Rayla was picked up, two-step. First, the Mets at St. Louis this week, but also looking decent since he stepped in the rotation. Actually went 5 innings, 1 run, 6 strikeouts in his last inning against his last start against St. Louis. But the kicker, it made me think about doing this, Ben, because of our Jared Jones conversation earlier. He still only threw 69 pitches, which is 12 more than he threw the start before, so they're ramping him up. But I think the two-step was the kicker here. What are your thoughts on Raylo?
Yeah, that is definitely the kicker on him. I didn't put any bids in for Lopez. I just think he hasn't been that good in a while. Yeah, granted, he did have that good start versus the Cardinals, and he gets them again in the second step of or second part of the two-step. So the Mets and the Cardinals are pretty appealing. You know, the Cardinals, I feel like, are kind of playing over their head, even offensively. The Mets have been a mess. And, yeah, especially when we're talking the OCs, it's definitely a stream, I think. And we were going back and forth, not just because of Grant Holmes, like you, me, and Ryan, but just like, okay, I keep getting Waldrop and Richie mixed up because they keep getting sent up and down. And they're both, like, younger pitchers, and I can't keep track of the rotation because Holmes was out of it. Now he's pitching for Wednesday, and this is because of the Perez injury. So the Braves rotation is all over the place. And maybe now with the Perez injury, that Lopez will maybe stick around after this week, and perhaps you hold on to him. If he pitches just like he did in the last start, maybe you're doing it in the OCs. But I'm not really upset I missed out because of how bad he's been as a starter the last year and a half, probably, Lopez. But it could definitely pay off this week. And then I guess you just see what happens post All-Star break, whether they get somebody back from injury. I don't know if Swanback will be ready yet. I don't know who would go to the bullpen first, Holmes or Lopez. Lopez has already been there, but seems like they want Holmes to go to the bullpen.
They've been wanting Holmes to go for a while. It's weird.
Yeah, I keep rostering him. I keep trying to drop him, and I can't. So it's all right, though. Like I told you, he's like that team's cheerleader, Grant Holmes. Yeah. But, yeah, so Lopez, I could see it being – I see why he was added. And, I mean, it could easily backfire too. Like, he could just get crushed, but it's definitely an appealing two-step.
Every team has to have a team cheerleader. That's just I don't make the rules. That's just how it goes. So I totally understand the pain you're going through. But, yeah, Ronaldo's interesting. They keep him stretched out. Like I said, they upped him 12 pitches. If he, say, gets up to 80 on Monday night, next thing you know, we're talking 90 to 100 pitches. It's always going to be interesting. It's just we know the Raylo from the past, the strikeouts might not be there. I definitely a 15-team play. Like, so, for instance, and if you said this, I apologize. Like, if you added him in a 15, which he was already well rostered, but picked up in 24 main events, he's more of a hold probably after the two-step than an OC where you can obviously catch and release.
Yeah, I agree. Hold him in a 15.
Okay, cool. All right, let's get to the next most added player in the NFBC Online Championships, Dean Kramer, picked up in 103 OCs, his highest 66, average of 14. And that's it. He's picked up in every main event the previous week. We're getting there. That didn't take long to get to that part of the show, Ben. Dean Kramer has, we know who he is. We know he's very good in 15s, but 6 innings, 1 run, 4 Ks in his return to the mound for Baltimore this past week. And the Dean does not have a two-step, though, just gets the Cubs. So this is kind of an aggressive move, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, he had the first good start back, like you mentioned, and then I was in on Dean Kramer way back when he first got brought up to the rotation because he displayed a new splitter, I think, was the pitch. And it showed some good results. If you look at his year by year, his splitter, he always had it in his arsenal. But then this year, Kramer increased the usage on the splitter from 21% in 2025 up until like 39% now. So he's prioritizing the split finger over the four-seamer. And with that, the split finger's XBA is like 097. The X slug is 107. The X woba is 132. So and he's thrown it by far the most out of all of his pitches. And so it's just this new pitch is bringing him results. And that's one thing that could signal that he's a new pitcher, Kramer. And so I like it. I have him in DCs at least. So I finally started him there. I don't think I wanted to start him first start off or coming back. And I even maybe a lineup slot when the lineup slot, I wasn't sure he was going to be pitching. But now that he's in the rotation for the Orioles, I fully endorse this. He could be good enough to stick in 12s. I think I like his prospects better than Ronaldo Lopez, for example. So it was annoying that he got hurt right away after I added him the first time and I had to drop him because he's not that type of pitcher where you can hold him and Kramer was hurt for a long time with that quad injury. So at least it was a quad injury too. So if you did add him back, you shouldn't really be concerned about a re-injury. I mean, he always has hurt his arm on the fly anyway. It's always possible with pitchers, but I like the splitter addition, or at least the increased usage, and he could be a pretty valuable pitcher in the second half, I think.
Yeah, I think he's a really good play. The 12s could be a mixed bag of if you want to start him or not, but I think in 15s he's awesome. I was trying to get him where we're still available, and don't think I got very lucky on that. The next most added player buried the lead on this one. This is the big name of the week. Hunter Green buried the lead because he just wasn't available everywhere. Picked up an 85 OCs, average of 245, max of 553. Thanks for waking up and realizing it was week 16. He's picked up in 30 main events, max of 501, average of 278. God, some of this stuff is great, Ben. Hunter Green returned on Saturday, and Hunter Green gave up 8 runs in 3 1/3 innings of 4 walks and 7 Ks, and that deterred nobody, Ben. But, you know, a lot of guys getting surgery. We've talked about it, Ben. Things haven't bounced back so well this year. What are your thoughts on the move? I know it's a game-changing play. You take your shot, but at least you got to have a little speculation, I guess.
Yeah, I just wonder how good these teams are doing that had all this fab left to spend at this point in the season. If they were blessed with a great roster where they didn't have to spend anything, then like the richest got richer, maybe. But I feel like in a lot of cases, without looking through every ad and seeing who the teams are and what their standings are, it could be all for naught. But looking at his underlying numbers, Green in his first start, almost a 17% swing strike rate. So he was missing bats still, but I think it was a lot of rust. His XERA was 10.27 in that start. 2/3 of the balls hit against him were hard hit. He threw 40% balls. He had a 20% K rate in that start, but his BABIP against was 750 and the left on base was 31%. So it was just a wacky start all the way around. He put some really high highs and some really low lows for Green. Yeah. And to your point about the injuries and, Rodon just went back on the IL. He had bone chips, which is, I think, what Green had. Off the top of my head, I don't have all the different injuries, but the bone spurs have been a big issue this year. Scooble's like the lone exception, and then Snell's still out. So maybe Green's not the same just because of the coming back from the injury. Maybe he doesn't feel 100% yet. But I think he's worth the chance. I just couldn't compete with the prices in the main event, which I'm fine with. He was available in one of my leagues. I had like a $50 bid on him. Just, you never know, but I was far from winning him in that one. So, yeah, Green, he could be a game changer for sure at this point in the year based on where he was getting drafted. I threw him back in my 1DC. That did not go well, but that team's already kind of screwed anyway because it lost its ace. So I don't know. It's just hopefully he comes back in because we could use more good pitching, but there's a good chance that Green just isn't what you're hoping for as well. Look at Jared Jones. He doesn't have the track record of Green, but it's, I don't know, like hard-throwing young pitcher. And then they're just like restricting. We were going through the box score or the game scores for, or the game logs for Jones before we started recording. They're just not letting him throw. So do you know how many pitches Green threw in that debut by chance?
I got it right here. Give me 1 second. This game log.
Cause that could be telling.
He threw 89 pitches. They let him go.
So I guess he's back to full strength. So that's a positive at least, but like the ball rate was high. So maybe he could be a little wild and that could hurt him. But too early to tell.
Too early to tell, indeed. So, yeah, like you said, we'll see where the dust settles on this one. But, I'm bummed I didn't get him, but I understand that it was part of the process is the way I'll go about telling myself why I didn't get him. Because, I think he's good. I needed him badly in a league. It just did not happen. All right, Lou Bob. People are stashing because Lou Bob's rehabbing, Ben. He's picked up an 85 OCs, as high as 71, average of 13, 75th percentile, $18. Picked up in 20 main events, high as 72, average of 27. Some people started specking a week or two ago on him, Ben. Like we talked about him last week on the main event section of the show. My biggest thing, and I said it, I think, with Ryan on Thursday night, I just don't know where he plays unless he's got a DH, right? Because you have Ewing, Benj, and Soto. You're not changing that outfield. So I'm trying to figure out where Lou Bob plays.
Well, the good thing about playing on Yahoo is that you see the eligibilities. And I think AJ Ewing is second base eligible on Yahoo. That's
amazing.
I think I heard someone say that before, like speculating on Robert coming back. And I believe Ewing came up as an infielder, so he could potentially go to play second base if they want Robert Jr. to be in center field. But just look, so I did put, so I think he was available in a handful of my mains, Robert Jr., and I did have some moderate bids on him. I didn't get him anywhere. I wasn't too aggressive just because looking at his stats, he's been pretty horrible this year, and then even the last couple of years, he's been so bad. His average, he's kind of turned into Chris Davis, where his average has been 224, 223, and now 224 this year. So he's hurting you there after kind of being a help his first few seasons. And this is a fun stat I always like. So Bubba, besides his 38 homer year in 2023, what's Luis Robert's next career high in homers for a season?
Yeah, it's like 14 or 15. Like it's not great.
He's got 14 twice. So 14 is his second most homers in a year. So all he's really doing in theory is stealing for you. And I think he just had a bad back or something. And I could see that being aggravated by sliding a lot and stealing bases. So I don't know. He's not that good anymore. I don't think Robert, he never had the best profile, a lot of swing and miss. And it's kind of showing up now in those averages I just read off, and the Mets are a mess. It's not like he'd be coming back to a good team, and they could trade a lot of pieces. Maybe they trade him, and the playing time may not be there. Like you mentioned with the outfielders they have, and Polanco's should be back soon, and he'll probably DH because he had his own issues. So it could be tight, but if you could get Robert Jr. at an affordable price, it's worth the gamble because he does have that fantasy upside that we like. But I just don't, I'm not too optimistic that he's going to be too good for fantasy.
And that's where it's at for me. Like, if you can get him affordable to take the chance and see the upside, like if the upside comes around, you know, it just takes one injury for him to have a chance to play type thing. I totally get it, but I'm tempering my expectations as well. Like, that's what I would tell people, is just be cautious of what's taking place there. All right. Next most added player in the FBC Online Championships, Noah Schultz of the Chicago White Sox, picked up in 81 OCs, average of 11, high of 103. He was picked up in two main events where he was available, average of 23, or went for 28 and 20. I can do the quick math for you on that one. Noah Schultz returned from the IL this past week, 4 1/3 innings, 3 earned, 4 walks, 7 Ks. Walks are the thing for Mr. Noah Schultz. But when it comes to Noah Schultz, he gets a two-step this week, Ben. First the Red Sox and first the A's. So what were your thoughts on Noah Schultz? I'll be honest, had some bids in on him.
He was someone I wrote down throughout the week for getting ready for Fab. I don't think I really tried to add him anywhere. Even in that team where I had Grant Holmes still, I didn't include Schultz in that waterfall because of how bad he has been so far. Not even paying attention to the two-step. It is a good two-step since the Red Sox they've been playing well lately, but the Red Sox, the lineup doesn't scare me too much. And then also the A's are kind of beat up, and then they're also on the road for that start. So that helps a lot as well. So I can see why it's appealing, especially in an OC high upside with the strikeouts for Schultz. But yeah, you mentioned the walks have been horrible for him, especially in his first start back. He had a big issue in most of his starts before he got hurt. So I wasn't too excited to try to get Schultz. Like I said, I had him written down, but I ended up not really putting a bid in for him just because I need to see a little bit more upside. It's more like a shot in the dark, I think, if you're adding him and hoping that he just figures it out, which he could, but he's 22 and he's had control issues. So I don't really want to risk that right now.
Yeah. In 15s, it was more of a grab him and see how this looks type thing to see if it's worth it. In 12s, it was literally, I'm streaming him for two starts and I'd be shocked if he sticks around unless he just absolutely blows me away this week. So that's all my thought process was on, because I am terrified of the command. I'm just trying to accumulate at this point in time as ratios be damned in most of my worlds. So let's just, as you saw last week, man, we talked about this. Things are just blown up everywhere. And maybe that's a poor gaming on my part, but is what it is. Next most added player in the OCs, the soft spot, Cedric Mullins, picked up in 81 OCs, average of 8, 75th percentile 11, max of 51, dropped in 1 OC, already rostered in all main events. Said Mullins had a June where since June 1st, 267, 7 homers, 4 steals, all the right-handed pitching he could ask for this week, Ben. So obviously not available in your 15. So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I would. Adam Wise hot. It's kind of funny now that after being so horrible start of the year, Mullins is kind of pacing for what his projection said. He's going to be close to a 2020 pace if he keeps it up, which based on where he was, what he was doing prior to week, like, prior to June, I guess, I thought he was just an awful, because I like Mullins and DCs a lot as kind of as like a you need some extra speed late, and then you need someone who's going to play a lot. Perfect addition to your DC squads. But the average is going to hurt. He's hitting 213 on the year still after hitting 216 last year, and then the 230s the 2 years before that. So it's just like a power speed play. And yeah, so they have full week. And he's even playing versus lefties, I think, too, Mullins. He's playing over DeLuca a little bit as well. So even if they had a lefty, he might play the full week. I mean, even with the seven games, he might sit, even though they're all righties, just because the Rays always mix in the match. But definitely a good week to stream Mullins, and probably don't want that average in an OC. So maybe after this week, people will drop him. But yeah, in a 15, the way he's playing now, you kind of have to roster him and play him. It's been tricky trying to start him, figure out what to start him or not in my DCs, just because of how bad he's been. I'm not very confident that he's going to keep it up, but he has so far
so good. And like I said, I added him in a couple of leagues just to stream him for the week, and I'm all about the dine and dash these days as we move along here. Especially, there's a reason they're so cheap. Don't expect the moon, just take what good you can get and move on. That's where my brain's at nowadays. Let's switch over to main events, Ben, as we're starting to get away from main event ads here. But we'll start talking about players that people might be interested in the coming weeks. Tyler Wells is obviously the most added player in main events in 59 leagues. Talked about him already. The next one, though, some people like Bet won't even know who this is, but we're here to help you. Joshua Carota Grauer of the Sacramento Athletics, one of their like top 10, 11 prospects in the game, plays all over the infield since he's been called up. He's played second, short, and third over the six games. He's hit safely in five of six games, strikes out less than 9% of the time, no power whatsoever so far, and he shouldn't have a ton. He hit seven home runs over 75 games in the minors with 15 steals. Hit 323, though. He's got a really good hit tool. And plus, you got that ballpark. It's kind of like a Jacob Wilson profile, kind of, be totally honest with you, when you look at the grand scheme of things. I wrote about him for HQ a couple weeks ago. I didn't expect him to get called up this soon, but he can play everywhere. So he's like the perfect storm. It's like what they wish, I think, Daryl Hernandez would be. So we'll see what happens when Jacob Wilson comes back. But I actually think Jacob Wilson is way more hurt than they're leading on to. The fact he re-aggravated that shoulder so easily, that's not good. This is like, remember Tatis a couple years ago? It's like every little motion screws things up. So I think this could be interesting. And I know some people added him this week, as we talked about, picked up in 41 main events, as high as 26, average of $8. He was picked up in 11 OCs, average of 7. Ben, you were in on Mr. JKG, as I call him. What are your thoughts? What made you dive into him?
Well, the environment. He's going to play in Sacramento, which is always a positive, the new cores or the other cores. And you mentioned when you read off his minor league stats, the speed. I have a couple teams that could use a boost in steals, and I felt like he was a perfect match for those teams. And looking at – he's available in one of my main still, Carota Grauer. I'll say that for the listeners. And I kind of wish I made a move to get him because he's still available, and I could use him in that league. So hopefully this week I can add him there, assuming that he can just do well. But look – so, yeah, you mentioned the Jacob Wilson injury. It seems like he could be done because he tried – resting it, and then he hurt it again, so that's not good. I'm not even sure what the actual injury is, but since it's his shoulder and second time hurting it, it can't be good. And then looking at the game log for the lineup tracker for the A's, they like Muncy only versus lefties, it seems like. And then you mentioned that Carota Grauer has played second, third, and short, so he's kind of bouncing between second and third. But now that Gallof is back, he's probably going to play second. And it looks like, well, actually, no, they had McNeil there still. There's a lot of options. It's kind of been an issue with Sacramento, but I think, well, at least Carota Grauer has been the one guy who's played he's been playing every game since he got called up at least. So that's a positive sign for me. Same mindset as like Henry Bolte when we added him. There's less of a reason to call up Bolte at that time. But kind of the same thinking, like they're calling up this guy and he's playing every day, so they kind of want him to play, and he's done well so far because I think he hit 400 his first week, Carota Grauer. Yeah, he hit 409, only struck out twice, so the hit tool seems like it's there. No homers or steals yet, but that's fine. I just want to see the playing time and the contact skills, and they're there. And like I said, Sacramento's a great place to hit. So even this week where they're on the road the entire time, I'm going to play him in the one league where I got him. And I just hope that he doesn't have to stay this hot, of course, but if he can hit like 250 plus and steal some bases. That's all I really want. And hopefully he sticks around for a while.
Yeah, and right now he's just shortstop eligible on the NFBC, but like I said, he's playing second, third. If they keep him up here, he's going to have triple eligibility real quick, and that just adds more to the appeal that you mentioned right there. All right, next most added player in the main events, Trevor McDonald of the Gigantes, picked up in 31 mains, average of 15, high of 38. Picked up in 70 OCs, high of 17, average of 6, dropped in 6 OCs. Dropped in one main event, surprisingly enough. T-Mac, Trevor McDonald, actually has a two-step this week, which is already enticing enough to add him. He gets the Toronto Blue Jays and the Road Rockies, so two games in San Francisco. Coming off 6 shutout innings with 5 Ks against the D-backs. I know the results have been very inconsistent with McDonald, but I think the skills are very good with Trevor McDonald. And the Giants have proven they want to keep him in the rotation. They moved Hauser to the bullpen for a reason. They're going to do everything they can to trade Tyler Molly and maybe Robbie Ray. Unless McDonald somehow has this random injury or innings limit as the season comes along, he should be locked into the rotation, and that goes a long, long ways. I think he's only going to get better as the season goes along. So, Ben, thoughts on Trevor McDonald?
I was able to add him, I think, a week ago, looking at my transactions. Yeah, I got him in week 15 in the New Jersey main event. So I sat him last week, which, okay, he had a good week, but now, so he showed he had the, like you said, he had the 5 Ks, no walks, only one hit allowed versus the Diamondbacks. And now he gets the Road Rockies, and a 2-star week is enough for me to be like, okay, I'm pitching him. I have him in a DC, at least I think just one, I'm starting him there. And despite like all the positives, the last 3 weeks, he hasn't been that good though. Like the swing strike rate for McDonald has been 6% in that time. Only 14% K rate, not surprising considering the low swing strike rate. The ECR and the XFIP and the X, actually the XERA has been really good. It's been 271 for McDonald in the last 3 weeks, but the CR and XFIP have been like more around 5, upper 4s. And then the health is, it's one of those weird cases. So his BABIP's been very low, which is good for him. It's been 234 against McDonald, but his left on base has been 55%, which is also, which is very low in the other lucky direction. So he's been unlucky with allowing runners to score, but not a lot are getting on because of the low BABIP. So even if those balance out, it shouldn't really affect too much, hopefully. We just need the swing and miss to increase, but it could happen this week. And in a 15, I think unless McDonald gets destroyed, you probably just hold on to him. And because like you said, the Giants seem to want him in the rotation. I think they should keep him there because the other guys they had before him aren't very good. And this hopefully he can figure it out. He's a rookie. You never know how things will go for them, but definite add this week. I'm surprised maybe he was added in the OCs, but we just didn't get there.
No, but, I said he was added in like 70 OCs.
Okay, so he was just below the number. He would have got there eventually.
Average of 6. Yeah,
average of 6. Yeah, so pretty cheap stream in the OCs for McDonald and probably a hold in 15s, even if it's an awful week, maybe you cut him, but I don't think it'll be that bad for him.
Yeah, but he could be a dine and dash for you in 12s, but 15s, I could see a world where I've rostered much worse for longer in 15s this year. So I think you got that. Speaking of one that I rostered for a long time, dropped him, and maybe you have to start looking to get him back again. It's Spencer Miles of the Toronto Blue Jays, picked up in 31 main events, high of 28, average of 6. Picked up in 7 OCs, $7 across the board. I'd be interested to see if that's the same person that bid in every one of those leagues. I can check that out in a minute. Spencer Miles was like in the rotation for a while or behind an opener, pitching really well, then disappeared, came back behind an opener, 3 innings, no runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks against the Mets, picks up the win. He's projected to do the same on Wednesday against the Giants. We'll see if our Tuesday against the Giants. We'll see if that happens, though. They haven't officially announced anything in Toronto. But if it's one of those things like the Andrew Alvarez's of the world, if Spencer Miles can work the brand role, then that's a very enticing fantasy situation.
Yeah, he was pretty popular in the 15s earlier. Miles ended up, I think, got bombed at some point. He had that.
Well, they started starting him, it felt like, and just went downhill from there. So, yeah.
Yeah, he had a good stretch of being, I think, the follower and being awesome. And then he finally started versus the Orioles on May 31st and gave up 6 runs in 3 innings. It's like the one start in his game log. So clearly he needs the opener, which is fine. We want that with Andrew Alvarez, for example. And I'll just comment on this, but it seems like the opener is really coming back strong this year because I'm watching the Rays and the Yankees right now, and the Rays were the ones who started with Ryan Stanek way back when, and then it kind of died out, it felt like. But now teams are bringing it back this year. And it's working for a lot of guys. So I think it has to work for Miles. I did not realize he was going to be a thing again, so I didn't put any bids in for him. But that's all right, because I'm not really win-chasing. I'd rather have volume and more strikeouts. But if he's going three innings like he did versus the Mets with no runs, it's going to be helpful. He had 5 Ks, 1 walk. Probably a perfect outing considering that workload for Miles. But in a 15, it's you probably would take this over a lot of the other options that are on the waiver wire. So I think him being added in over half the leagues makes sense. I missed it. And despite missing it, I don't know if I would have been aggressive because I don't really have any guys that awful. Luckily, knock on wood, right now on my teams where I would want to switch them out for Miles. But if you had someone like who's just horrible and you were looking to get him off your roster, I think Miles was a good replacement for that.
Full agree. Like he was interesting to me, but not a must by any means. And I love a little more clarity if we can get that, which we never got before Fab. Next most added player in main events. This one surprised me, Ben. Mason Montgomery was picked up in 31 main events, high at 21, average of 6. Mason Montgomery was picked up in 9 OCs, average of 7. Like, he's got some really electric stuff. Mason Montgomery does. Picked up a hold recently. Has not had a save. People speculated. I even thought there was a chance he could be a closer for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It would make sense. He's been lights out in the bullpen. But it does. They brought him in like in the 5th or 6th inning on Sunday, and that deterred a lot of people, including myself, maybe wrongly, because he kind of feels like the best pitcher they have.
Yeah, I think I had bids in for Montgomery. I may have taken them out at some point because of seeing him go in the 5th inning in that outing. One good thing about him has been the Ks. He has 51 Ks in 35 innings, which is a terrific ratio. But he's kind of got a little like what Soto does, 4.37 ERA, 1.31 WHIP. So the ratios are going to hurt you. Yeah, and it's purely a spec play. I have no idea what the Pirates are doing. Neither is roster resource. They have all three as the closer. If I go to Closer Monkey, they have all three listed as the committee with Santana leading it, and then Soto's second, and then Montgomery is third. And they say it's in flux, which I don't really blame them for saying that. So I think I had Montgomery down for like, if I had kept him, it was like $3-4 at the most, just in case he fell to me. So I wasn't too optimistic in terms of him getting or being the closer. So I wasn't too aggressive in trying to add Montgomery. But if you're desperate, I get trying to get a cheap flyer, maybe just wait and see what happens. But based on that usage, I don't think he's going to get those saves anytime soon. And I don't know if it's going to be Santana, but looking at Soto's game log, I think he had, or his weekly logs, because I have him in a DC and I finally sat him. He's like 4 weeks in a row giving up 2 or 3 runs, which is horrible for a closer. So I think they've lost favor with Soto. And it feels more likely that Santana will be the closer for now. But they do have, but Soto's a lefty. I think is Montgomery a lefty, I think. So,
yes.
Yeah. So they could afford to have one be the closer, but I don't think that's right now for Montgomery. So I'm okay that I didn't get him.
Yeah, he's Soto's no Camilo Duvall, but it's getting pretty close at times. That's for sure.
Thank God.
All right, next most added player. Yeah, I'm glad he's out of my hair, so he's all yours. Next most player added in the main events, Josh Lowe, picked up in 30 main events, average of 17, high of 51, picked up in 63 OCs, average of 7 in those, dropped in 1 OC. Josh Lowe was recalled on June 24th. He's hit safely in 8 of 10 games since he's been recalled. 323 average, 2 homers, 2 steals. More importantly for me, Ben, he's playing versus lefties and righties. It's not a platoon right now. He's getting every day at bats. And it's like we've seen the good, we've seen the bad. We know the good's a 2020 profile. We know the bad, he gets sent back to AAA. But I feel like at this point in the year, if you can try to gamble on a 2020 profile, like, I feel like he should have been almost as desired as Esmeralda Valdez was. And he seems like he's going, Josh Lowe is going under the radar in that regard.
Yeah, I think I had them about the same price last week for Fab, so week 15. And I was able to find, so yeah, Lowe wasn't added in all my mains. He was only added in one in week 15, but this past Sunday I was able to get him. And it's kind of annoying because I could have got him for $1 last week versus 16 this week. But I still got him because he ended up having a good week in week 16 or week 15. He had a homer and the steal, which is the second week of, in a row of him doing that. The K's seem to be down, which has been an issue for Lowe historically. And also, this the steals kind of weren't there to start the year, but now he's got 2 in 2 weeks. That's really encouraging. That's why I wanted Lowe and probably more than Valdez because I need some steals where I was looking to add him. The only issue would be platooning for Lowe, and I despite them having a three-game week, and I think one's a lefty. It's Mackenzie Gore on Wednesday for the Rangers. The Angels are facing the Rangers. I still started low where I got him just because I want that steal upside. So I'm looking forward to hopefully a good bounce back because I've had him in the past when he was really, really good, and it's been a rough couple of years for Josh Lowe. But I think the playing time will be there too, even if Trout's back, because I can see Wade Meckler playing over Lowe, especially if he continues to hit this well. And Meckler's been kind of nothing. He's probably been fine for a real team, but he has no power really, hasn't really been stealing bases. So I think Lowe will be playing still, even if Trout's back, assuming that he's fine. And if he keeps playing like he's playing now, Josh Lowe, I think he's pretty good at.
Yep, I'm 1,000% with you on that one. We'll skip Andrew Kittredge. We kind of talked about him earlier, the Tyler Wells situation. Romy Gonzalez picked up in 29-man events. I started digging into him more on Sunday, but the playing time is my biggest question. But in the main events, 29 leagues, high of 28, average of 7. He was picked up in 10 OCs, average of 9. The reason I say the playing time is he played like 4 straight games, 1 versus righty, then 3 straight lefties, and sat again on Sunday. It's DH or second base so far for Romy, but the production has been great. He's hit safely in 4 straight. He's got a home run. Like, we know how good he can be. It wasn't that long ago where, you know, like last season, we saw Romy Gonzalez hit .305, 9 homers, 6 steals in 96 games, and he's first base, second base eligible. So, like, I was starting to look at him more and more last night, and I didn't pull the trigger on him. Obviously, he's still available in a lot of formats, but I really wanted to see the playing time at this point in the year. Like, I can't be getting guys that I have too many guys that continue to lose playing time, so I need to not get more of those is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, now trying to invite more zeros onto your roster.
Yes, it's already it's either IL, day-to-day, or all of a sudden the guy started, like how you Lee started for like 2 weeks straight, and then he doesn't start for the last half of last week, which is beyond, like, I make zero sense whatsoever. Now, as Paul said, planning for the Contreras suspension maybe. Yes, Contreras should miss some of this week, which will give Romy some playing time, but the problem is Romy played so much first base last year because there's no Contreras. Now Contreras is, you know what I'm trying to say. So, yes, what was your thoughts on Romy Gonzalez?
I agree with that, Bubba, at least your take on not being interested because, well, so I'm looking at his stats. He just came back. So people, so there wasn't like, it wasn't like he was platooning all year. And I remember Romy playing a lot, like you said, last year at times because the Red Sox had nobody else. And looking at who they faced, it was 3 lefties last week. And that's why he played those 3 games in a row. Then he had the 1 DH game before that on Tuesday. So at least Roster Resource thinks that he's a platooner. I would do as well. I think that as well. Does he play shortstop ever?
Maybe rarely. He's only got the first base, second base right now.
Yeah, he didn't play shortstop at all last year, so that's not an option. I was looking at who they have. Duran's playing. Durbin's playing. It'd really be Yoshida, and they've been DHing him versus righties, it seems like, a lot, most of the time. So unless there's lefties, which there's 2 to start the week, but I think the comment in the chat about the suspension probably makes the most sense. I could see that being the motive to adding him. But other than that, I really wouldn't have any interest in adding him right now because I think Yoshida's in the DH versus righties, and I don't want a short side platoon bat on my lineups.
Yeah, like if I knew he was playing, I'd be all aboard the train, but a little tricky here. Couple more I want to hit on. Javier Sanoa in the chat here, our good buddy PJ was asking about Sanoa, and he was on the list. He's second base, third base, outfield eligible for starters. Big plus for Javier Sanoa of the Miami Marlins, for those that don't know. He was picked up in 29 main events, average of 10, high of 21, picked up in 28 OCs, average of 6. Over his last 11 games, hitting .444 with a home run and 2 steals, striking out 2.6% of the time. That's ridiculous. Like, that's impressive stuff. What I like about him is he's playing a ton right now. There's the outfield logjam in Miami, but with injuries to Norby and to Paulie and whatnot, Sanoa's kind of locked in right now. So if you can get a batting average asset with a little power and some speed, I was very intrigued, especially in the 15 this week.
Yeah, looking at him now, I get that. I didn't have him in any bid lists. I think that's more because I was looking at the prior week primarily. So if you look at the lineup track for the Marlins, Sanoa, that's not the Marlins. So Sanoa was playing only two out of the three games versus righties that week. And I'm looking there, I guess the other – so the player who got sent down, looking at it now, is Graham Pauly. So he was up. He played third twice that week, and he got sent back down. So I guess that move kind of helps Sanoa to have more secure playing time at third base right now. I'm looking at the roster. Conine's not a third baseman. Yeah, it's basically him or Leo Jimenez. So I would say now that it looks like Sanoa's playing time is more safe. Yeah, good average if you need average. He's averaging about, no pun intended, like two runs and RBIs per week. That could be useful. I would like to see more speed out of him because I don't think the power is going to be anything great. Let me look up his barrel rate. Javier Sanoa, he has he's a 1.6% barrel rate. So the homers, I would not expect any homers from him. Pretty good sprint speed, 85th percentile, but he has three barrels and three homers so far in 200 plus plate appearances. So you're looking for average and some speed, which in the right situation is helpful. It's also different that a third baseman could provide that. And he is multi-eligible, second, third, and outfield on NFBC. So that's nice. Yeah, and the big 26 at-bats for Sanoa, I think, is really what's made him stand out to a lot of people. And I want a little more power upside for my third baseman. Right, I was looking for a third baseman, but I would say the person I got doesn't have the security long-term that Sanoa probably has. So that could hurt, but I could see it being kind of empty going forward, you know?
Yeah, no, not opposed to that at all. Like I'm always searching for batting average and a little boost if I can. I have plenty of power, so I'm usually not worried about it. So different boat over here. But while I talk a little more, why don't you pull up your ad drops for the week, and we'll start talking to those before we talk about some players for people to drop. But just a couple more notable names for people out there, like Ty France, popular pickup, hitting with power of late. Big week ahead for the Padres tonight, seven-game week. So he was a guy that was on many radars. Brandon Fought, two-step. I'll ask you about one more, Ben, while you're pulling your stuff up, though. Jordan Romano was picked up in 24 main events, average of $8, a high of 23, picked up in 23 OCs, average of 6, high of 24. Romano picked up the save on Sunday for the Colorado Rockies. So, and I actually watched that save. I know it's my Giants. They're not great, but he looked okay. I'll give him credit there. What are your thoughts on Romano? Because we started the list talking about Tyler Wells. We're going to end it talking about Jordan Romano. So two guys with closing jobs for now, it looks like.
I had bids in for Jimmy Hergett to start the week or the weekend. Very cheap behind Tyler Wells. Like I'm looking at my one team where I pulled up the listener league because I'm going to cover that one first. I did add a reliever. I had Hergett for $6 here. I did not add Romano, and I'm glad I didn't get Hergett because Romano has just been so bad. I think he had a good week. I don't have it up right now, but I think he had two innings of four strikeouts, no runs allowed last week, if I recall correctly. And that is a good start, but if he was that bad with the Angels, I just can't see it being any better with the Rockies for Romano. And probably in terms of as few save opportunities, and plus you have the Coors disaster waiting to happen, so I did not even try getting Romano.
Yeah, it was not on my agenda. Now I might regret it and see how the week goes, but what I will say to people, if you're going to bid on him next week and because he gets one or two saves this week, don't overbid for Jordan Romano. You can bid on him. That's fine. Not going to oppose you on that one. But remember, you don't get the saves he has now. You might get the 17 earned runs he gives you the next 2 weeks. So just be cautious on that one. Like if he pitches great the rest of the way, kudos. But I think we know who Jordan Romano is at this point in time. All right, Ben, let's talk about it. What were your ad drops for the week?
All right, yeah. So as I alluded to, first up is the Listener League. All right, so I added a reliever, but this one is Abner Uribe. I dropped Yohenrick Pinango 8-3. Uribe was my second option ahead of Hurgut, Sam Backman, and Andrew Kittredge. I like the better reliever with the chance that something happens to Trevor McGill. And then perhaps Uribe gets the opportunity for saves. I already have two closers here. It's more like a third stash type deal that could use a boost in saves at some point. So I figured just take a flyer on Uribe, see what happens. And then I added Luis Angel Acuna, dropping Carson Kelly. I got Liam Hicks back, so I could drop Kelly. That was 3-0. It looked better when the Red Sox had three lefties lined up for the start of the week. It's only two, and I think I ended up sitting Acuna because of that lack of the third lefty. So it's all right. It's only $3, but something changes. Maybe I'll throw him in there. Excuse me. And then going to the New Jersey main event. Here I got one of your boys, Victor Barracudo, dropped Johnny DeLuca 8-0. Started him today. And then I added Sean Keyes, dropped Brent Rooker 8-1. A little bit of an overspend on both those guys, but that's all right.
Real quick, what are your thoughts on Sean Keyes? Because I was very torn on him. I didn't know what to think about him. What are your thoughts on Sean Keyes?
Yeah, so he played all last week. The Blue Jays have three rights to start the week with the Giants, and they have two on the weekend. So five games in theory for Keyes. I realize now it's more so because of the paternity leave for Springer, but it's a weird one. So they brought up Keyes before that even happened. And we were all, I know people are wondering where he was going to play, but I don't know. Pinango hasn't been that good since he's been back. So I don't know if they want Springer in the outfield at all, because the outfield definitely has room for Springer when he gets back. And then that means that Keyes could DH still, because Vlad's at first and he's not going anywhere. So I was kind of banking on Springer just being out a little bit longer, and hopefully they keep Keyes in. But I'm ready to move on after this week, though, if he doesn't really play.
Springer's back. If not tonight, I'll be back tomorrow night. He's in SF right now.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but I mean, third base is so bad, Bubba. It's tough. I didn't need to play him in this league, luckily, but in the other spot I did get Keyes. I had to play him, and so hopefully he'll still find his way into some at-bats this week. So I'm not too optimistic about it, but I figured just take a chance. Moving on to main event three, Josh Lowe was added. This is where I got Josh Lowe. I dropped Yohenrick Pinango 16-14. And then this is where I also got Josh Kuroda Grauer, dropped Jonah Heim 8-1. I also had Liam Hicks back here, so I could drop Heim for that. And then finally, the hybrid main, this is where I got Tyler Wells. I finally got rid of Sir Anthony Dominguez. 54-35. Hopefully that helps.
That's a good drop. At least you got a replacement closer. Like last week, you were sitting there just wanting to get rid of him.
Yeah. So I saw a legit option and I took my chance and I got him. Ended up upping the bid a little bit, so I wasted a couple dollars, but I got well. So it's all right. Hopefully. Well, actually, this is my most active league. Then I got Jorge Polanco, dropped Jacob Gonzalez. Was a great stream, Gonzalez, but I think Murakami's back soon. And A lot of lefties this week on the schedule for the White Sox. Why I added Luis Angel Acuna to the other league. So Gonzalez is probably going to sit a lot, and then he's probably done after the All-Star break. So I got Polanco 4-0. I actually played Polanco this week, hoping that he gets back tomorrow or even Wednesday, because he hit a couple homers already in his rehab. Then I brought back our old friend Carlos Cortez, dropped Yohenrick Pinango again, 4-0. Cortez, he was 5-for-12 in the Marlins series. And it looks like he's playing again versus righties. So hopefully he can catch fire and avoid that awful slump that he had before. And then lastly, this is where I got Sean Keyes again. Drop Max Kepler 3-0. I need a third baseman to replace Matt Chapman. And Keyes has kind of fell to me. And I wish I prioritized other guys differently, but there wasn't a lot to choose from in this league. So I just went with some upside, and hopefully he can still play a little bit this week.
Nope, makes sense for sure. For me, listener of Vegas League, got Tyler Wells, dropped Grant Holmes. This is where this time of year makes me laugh. Somehow I got Wells 22 unopposed. That was weird. Got Javier Sanoa, dropped Blaze Jordan 4-0. Got Hurston Waldrop, dropped Brent Rooker 3-0. Still love Blaze Jordan's profile, but we're moving on. Took a chance on Waldrop for cheap, just because I think out of all the guys, like you mentioned earlier, Waldrop and Holmes and Elder and Richie, I think Waldrop's actually the best pitcher. It's just a matter of can he get the run to figure things out. I don't know. So I'll take the shot for $3 to see where the dust settles. He was definitely not the top of the waterfall on that one. My Vegas AC missed out on Hunter Green by quite a bit. Had a 216 bid in. He went for 317, runner up 303. Missed out on Tyler Wells as well. He went for 39. I had 33. I got Cole Young, dropped Marcus Semien. Nice second base improvement for me. I bid 33, runner up at 17. Yes, Brendan Donovan is starting a rehab assignment this week. Yes, he could play second base, but let's just be real. Brendan Donovan is not that great, and Cole Young's been actually really good, like very serviceable in real-life baseball. Like Donovan should either play third base or if he's like a super utility, including the outfield. That's what Brendan Donovan should be. And Cole Young hasn't had a day off this year. So the fact they haven't sat him all year, I find it hard to believe they'll demote him when Brendan Donovan returns. So I took my chance on Cole Young on that one. And then in my AC, I also got – I wanted some other guys, so down the waterfall we went. I got Mason Barnett of the Sacramento A's, dropped Nick Lofton 3-0. I talked about Barnett quite a bit with Ryan as he's got two saves the past month, just like Elvis Alvarado. Doesn't strike out as many guys as Alvarado, but still has some pretty nasty stuff. So it's kind of a speculative, maybe you could snag a save or two situation there.
Real quick, Bob.
Yeah,
you mentioned Alvarado. I think he's done as the closer. He was pitching like the fifth inning, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's why it's all over the board in Sacramento. That's why I was like, I'll take my chances on Barnett, who's actually been good when he's pitched. And like Harris will keep getting leverage. Maybe Alvarado came in and leverage. Who knows? But it's such a mess in Sacramento. So for $3, I'll see what happens with that one. In my OLAC, picked up Connor Prelep, dropped Edzer Guzman 6-1. Prelep's strikeouts are up. He's still sketchy when he pitches, but I was going to give him a whirl as I need pitching on this roster. And then started trying on waterfalls. I started trying to stash Angel Martinez. He's expected back after the All-Star break. He's rehabbing. So I got Martinez, dropped Nick Lofton 3-0. In the Bubba the Bloom listener auction, picked up Trevor McDonald, dropped Ryan Helsley 12-4. Picked up Griffin Conine, dropped Matt Chapman 3-2 in that league. And then my Beat Bubba OC, I got Jock Jams, dropped Cooper Pratt 9-1. Cooper, have fun with your 8-game week. Make me look bad, please. Then I picked up Jake Bennett, and I dropped Kenley Jansen this week. I got the save on Sunday, which is rough, but he threw a third of an inning all of last week. He was barely getting any. Like, I still think it feels like it's a committee there. Maybe I'm wrong. I already had two other closers in this league, so he's the third closer. It wasn't a must. So I got Jake Bennett, dropped Kenley Jansen 7-0. OCs, baby. This is great. And then here you go. Here's your topper. Picked up Esmerlin Valdez in this league because he's still available. Dropped Colton Cowser 6-0. So OCs are just a completely different breed there, Ben. Completely different breed. All right. Let's talk about some players to drop as we do each and every week. But before we talk about the players Ben put together on the sheet for tonight, I told Ben we're going to talk about some injured players, should we hold them or drop them? So we'll kind of go through this one here real quick, little exercise. We'll start with Carlos Rodon. Ben, you talked about him earlier. Carlos Rodon has elbow inflammation, likely related to the bone spurs surgery. No timetable for his return, but we're probably thinking at least a month, if not 6 to 8 weeks with that. So middle of August at best is kind of what I'm thinking here, Ben, which is halfway to the end of the season. So what are you thinking if you have Carlos Rodon?
I have him only in the DC, so I don't have to make this decision. And then the note came out of mid-August, came out today at around 11. But since it's mid-August, I would probably say drop, assuming you have other injuries. If he's your only injury, then maybe you just hold him. But if you don't, you have Rodon and one or two other guys, maybe you have to cut him.
Got it. All right, Corey Seager and the man that's always hurt, back. Hamstrings, groins, you name it, he's got it. I actually saw him get dropped this week, I think in my AC, actually. What are your thoughts on Corey Seager? Like, I just never rostered Corey Seager, but I know a lot of people do.
Yeah, my thoughts would be don't draft Corey Seager.
Yeah.
But his estimated return date is the 17th. So at this point, that means he'd be back without missing more than just this week. So if you still have Seager, I'd maybe wait to see if he's back next week after the All-Star break. But then if something happens where he gets pushed back, maybe that you drop him on the 18th because he's due back the 17th, or that'd be the 19th, sorry. So if he's not back that weekend, the 17th and 18th, Seager, then maybe you move on. But shortstop's been a little underwhelming. I know you and Ryan covered that in your review. And as someone who has Lindor and Gunnar Henderson, it's been underwhelming for sure for different reasons. So, and Corey's another one of those examples. So it's hard to cut him right now, but especially because you're hoping for power. He does have 10 homers, but the average has been a killer, which is weird. He's hitting under 200. So I would hold him for this last week and then see if he comes back next week. But then if he doesn't, then I would reconsider.
Yeah, it's any minor setback gone is the best way I would put it with Corey Seager, because it just feels like it's one thing after another with Mr. Seager. I'm going to ask you about Daniel Palencia, who landed on the IL with tendonitis in his elbow, basically elbow soreness, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be shut down for at least a week. They're hoping he'll be back sometime after the All-Star break, but there's still nothing has been set in stone. Like, they're hoping to start a throwing program this week. Hoping is the key words I keep using there. To me, this feels like we're leaning more towards an August return, and this is his second IL stint already this year, Ben.
Yeah, and this is wild that he only has 3 saves.
Yeah.
So, I would say kind of same thing with Rodon. If you have him as your only IL, I would hold Palencia because he's definitely the closer when he's back. You just don't know if he will be back. That's the issue. So if you're able to get, like, if you're in a 15 and you're able to, and you're able to add a second closer, maybe you can drop Palencia then, because who knows when he'll be back, to your point. But I would hold if you can, but I'd be okay cutting him.
All right. Connelly Early went to the IL with left elbow inflammation. Connelly Early requested a second opinion with Dr. Reattach, which is never a good thing. I know he was a drop for a lot of people this last week. I wanted to see one more week for information, but he feels like he's coming up to be a drop, Ben. So what are your thoughts on Connelly Early?
Yeah, this one hurts. I have him in a DC, which I was heavily using early. Probably a drop. Second opinion can't be good. Must have had a bad first opinion.
Yeah, that's kind of where my brain's at as well. Ryan Helsley, elbow discomfort, going to get further testing. This seems like he's done for the season to me. I actually dropped him already, as people were listening to the recap of my ad drops. So what are your thoughts on Ryan Helsley?
Yeah, he's only rostered 68% of mains, so 2/3. I would be much more willing to cut Helsley than Palencia as a reference.
Full agree. Matt Chapman is on the injury list, an abdominal strain. Latest report on Monday, he's heading back to hang out with the team and get reevaluated on said strain. So we should have some more news probably 24 to 48 hours. But I dropped him in some 12s this past week. You're more of a 15er, obviously, Ben. Is Matt Chapman a drop in your formats? Because it sounds like you added players to replace him for now, but he's still on your bench.
Yeah, you know my team so well. The second Sean Keyes ad was to fill in for Chapman, for the listeners. So I am holding on to Chapman because of how bad third base is, and it doesn't seem like too bad of an injury. So the note on the NFBC is saying the 10th, hopefully, next Friday. I hope that's true. But with how bad third base is, yeah, I'm not dropping Chapman until I get a pretty bleak diagnosis.
Last one here before we get to your sheet. Brandon Woodruff left with dead arm, shoulder inflammation, capsule stuff. Same injury they said that sidelined him for 6 weeks earlier this year. I'm not very optimistic, Ben. What are your thoughts on Mr. Woodruff?
Well, he was in a void for me, so I don't have to worry about this. But based on it being the same injury, I would say he's probably a drop. Unless he's your only IL spot, then maybe hold him for the upside because he has pitched really well. But I think Woodruff could be toast.
Full agree on that one. All right, let's look at the sheet you put together. Just give a quick rundown for the listeners what we are looking at here.
Yep, so you haven't caught the last few episodes. Bub and I have a sheet that looks at the OC roster rate, and it's also tying that in with the Razzball earned auction value dollars year to date. And the way we have it right now, it's set to look at players who are rostered between 50 and 75% of OCs. And they're sorted by the lowest, I guess the most negative year to date value to the highest. And we're just going to go through and see what to do with these names.
And real quick, I just sorted it from to go 75% down to 51 to mix it up. Mm-hmm. Just because I want to talk about the most added and work our way down to see how far we get here.
That works.
And I actually figured that out on my own. I'm kind of proud of myself. But the first one atop the board here, and I think this is worth discussing. That's why I'm happy it showed up here. Shane Bieber is 75% rostered in OCs. He's 98% in mains. Like in mains, I know pitching is difficult. Okay. Bieber has thrown 13 innings in his three starts. He's allowed 13 earned runs, coming off 7 earned in his last start. But almost even more concerning to me, Ben, it's the 7 walks, 9 Ks, and also 6 home runs over those 13 starts. Nothing's working. If he's in the zone, he's getting pounded. He's having trouble staying in the zone. I know people are going to say, well, patience, he just came off the IL. But I guess my counter argument, Ben, and then I'll give it to you, is it's a 31-year-old coming off another big injury. I don't know if he's worth rostering because, well, I didn't. I told people in our Discord I'm not going to spend a lot of money in Fab to try to pick him up. But the fact he's 75% in OCs, where to me in a 12, he shouldn't be rostered. But in a main event, I'll let you give your main event angle here. He's 98% still. Is that too much?
Yeah, so I pulled up his ads in my leagues on the NFBC, and I remember this now. So last week he was available in 2 of my mains, Bieber. He went for $77 in both of them. I was well below that. I was just adding him just to see because of the name Shane Bieber. But I think I was saying in the Discord after the week that – or the one start that he's just not the same pitcher. His swing strike rate's below 10%. You mentioned how many walks he has to how many few strikeouts. He hasn't pitched a lot since 2022. That's when he pitched 200 innings. Then he got hurt in 2023. He's barely pitched since then. The velocity is kind of the same as it has been. So that's not an issue, but for whatever reason, he's just not pitching well. So I think in OCs, you could probably look to move on from Bieber because I don't feel too optimistic that he's going to turn around.
Yeah, I'm with you. Tyler Stevenson, he's fine for a catcher too. I'm not going to argue that one. Goldschmidt's declining versus right-handed pitching. Ben, he's still 75% in OC, 77% in mains. What do you think the roster rate should be? Because, like, again, in OCs, unless they're facing a lot of lefties, he's not even worth rostering to me.
Yeah, the problem is, like, right now he's playing – he started versus Griffin Jacks, but the Yankees need Goldschmidt to play because there's no – well, interesting. So he sat Saturday and Sunday versus righties, Goldschmidt. And he sat Wednesday as well. So he's only started 2 of the last 5 versus righties. And I think that should be the trend because I don't have the splits up now, but I think everyone's heard on various podcasts how much Goldschmidt's crushed lefties. So yep. He should be a very infrequent streamer at this point, I think, only if the Yankees have 2 lefties at least for a lineup setting period. I think that's the only time you should use Goldschmidt because otherwise he's not doing anything for you, even if he's playing.
Well, there's your boy, Zebby Matthews. We'll move on from that, though. Jake Mangum should be rostered still, especially in main events. Clayton Beter, that's the next one I'm going to hit on here. Clayton Beter, 74% in main events, 74% in online championships for Clayton Beter. He's returned 30 cents of value. Now, remember, he spent some time on the IL, so that'll affect said value for Clayton Beter. And right now, he's technically the closer in Washington, given they haven't had a save in a week, and they sent the Gus Bus to AAA. I know saves are tricky, Ben, so in OCs, yeah, in main events, you're still sticking with Clayton Beter, but like if you're in a shallower league, is he worth rostering right now?
I don't know. So I had him in a couple of spots. I actually had him in 2 mains. I dropped Beter back in week 13. I think it was to add Tony Santian back then, and I forget who the other ad was. But I was ready to move on, and I did not realize he has a save in 2 of the last 3 weeks. So that's interesting. But, yeah, they just won't commit to a closer, it feels like, the Nationals. So I think he's a very, very low-end RP3 in an OC, and I think he should be much, much less rostered there.
Yep, I fully agree. Like he's borderline rosterable in an OC. There's so many other ways I'd like to spend that run. Because what I would like to ask people that are rostering him, are you actually starting him? Because, like you said, he should be an RP3, and so are you just having him on your bench just in case where you could use that roster spot elsewhere? That's the question I would have for people. Like that's how I would reevaluate my roster if I have Clayton Beter on it right now. This one is good because I think people kind of set it and forget with Chase Mydroth. Mydroth had a great start to the season. He's second base shortstop eligible, 74% in OCs, 100% rostered in main events. But what I want to bring up here, Ben, is the decline month to month for Mydroth. Right now, he's only hitting 158 in July. He's got a home run, but he only had one home run last month. He did it 287. He had four home runs in May. That was a big pump. Stolen bases, he hasn't had a stolen base since May. So to my point, it's been two home runs, no steals. I'll just rough top in my head. He's probably hitting like 230 in the last 2 months. That is definitely not OC rosterable, and that's borderline main event rosterable with the middle infield options that have come up over the last month and a half or so.
Yeah, he's definitely – well, he's kind of fringy in a 15, so I don't think he should really rostered in a 12 Mydroth. He only has seven homers and two steals, so he's not even stealing, and that's why that's what you would want Mydroth for. So I think he should not be nearly this highly rostered in OCs. Pretty simple on my side.
Full agree. We talked to Helsley. Are you a everyone talks you shouldn't roster Tyler Glass now. Are you a yes or no in the camp of Tyler Glass now?
He was available in one of my leagues, and I wasn't aggressive to add him, so I'll say no.
Perfect. That's an easy way to decipher these things. All right, we're going to skip a few now because we've talked about some of these guys a lot, but I want to go to Owen Casey of the Miami Marlins. Now, probably widely rostered for a second because people picked him up for the big week in Colorado and Sacramento. Some might have forgot if they wanted to add or drop him. So Owen Casey right now, 67% owned in OCs, 87% or 100%, 69%, 100% in main events with Mr. Casey. Kind of joked about it earlier when we talked about Javier Shinoa, that the outfield is kind of a logjam, given Casey plays nearly every day. He got Sunday off, but prior lefty, he was in the lineup at DH for the Marlins, so he's getting a lot more love, plus Jacob Marcy, who knows the depth of that injury. Owen Casey, he's a very streaky hitter, again, only hitting 182 this month, but the power is good. Five home runs in June, hit 246. So what are your thoughts on the roster rates for Owen Casey? Should he be rostered?
Well, so I'm looking at his profile, and basically what I said for Esmalen Valdez applies to Owen Casey because – Casey has the worst strikeout rate in the majors at 39%. But he's having a good last few weeks. He's hit, it's kind of incredible. So that's his strikeout rate on the year, but he's hit 333, 357, 294 the last 3 weeks with five home runs and a steal. So that's why he's rostered in these OCs. He also had the good week last week with Sacramento and Colorado. I think he's a platoon bat, though.
Yeah, he's getting more love. Like I said, he sat Sunday. We played the lefty before, so
yeah, and he sat on Monday though too. So that's he sat two or three versus lefties, which I mean, there's plenty of platoon bats, but when you have one with this high of a K rate and he's platooning, I'd be very quick to cut him if he stays high. I mean, you keep playing him for now, I think, while he's on fire, but he's could have the Esmalen Valdez slump, but at a higher degree, I think, because his K rate's pretty significantly higher than what Valdez is, and Valdez is pretty bad.
Yeah, I've had Casey on rosters off and on a lot this season. So, yeah, he's an ad drop guy. Just don't be afraid to drop him quickly.
There was a reason he was dropped earlier in the year too, because Casey was unavailable for a while on free agency, I remember.
Yep, fully agree. A couple more here. Matt McClain, 67% in OCs, 87% in main events. Matt McClain is bad at baseball. He does not have a hit in nine at bats in July. That means he's not playing that much either for your quick math, but hit 206 in June, hit 175 in May, hit 211 in the first month of the year. Ben, he has a whopping eight home runs and 11 steals. What are you doing with Matty McClain?
I've been trying to sit him in my DC, but because it's the DC, I'm kind of stuck. Yeah. So it's very annoying, but I think we mentioned him before. I think I'd cut McClain. Yeah. He's hitting 192. He's on the bench per roster resource, not playing all the time. If he's sat versus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the last six rights they face. So he's a short side platoon right now. So I'd cut McClain.
Yep. Full agree with you there. Let me pick. I think we talked to Ezekiel Tovar before, 64% in OCs, 97% in mains. I cut him a while back in a 15. Where are you at in Ezekiel Tovar?
Yeah, I think the percentage is going down. It probably needs to keep going down because he has had the best week possible. Well, he had a Coors week and he did nothing. So Yeah, I still have him. I'm sitting him now at least. So I've made progress, but I haven't cut him in my 15 yet because he's still 97% there because of the 15. So in OCs, you could definitely – I would look to add the Grover guy we were talking about in the A's, like, for example, over him probably.
JKG, you're our guy. A couple more here just because it's amazing how some of these are still so heavily rostered, especially – I get main events, but there's still a point where you got to just pull the trigger. Aaron Nola – he's 58% rostered in OCs, 97% main events. He's minus $16 on the season. 16. That is like third worst on this chart. That's impressive from Aaron Nola. He allowed 3 earned in his last start, which is he actually had a really good start for the Royals before he got shelled by Pittsburgh. I know the under the hood looks decent with Nola, but what are we doing here, man?
I was going to say that, but because I have Nola in the DC, and I was looking to play him, or not play him, but I kind of had to, and I looked at his underlying numbers. Haven't been horrible the last 3 weeks, 14% swing strike rate, but considering how bad he's been all year, I think you could probably move on from him in OCs even more so. He's had – I'll give him 3 out of 4 good starts, but that's a very low bar, considering how bad the Pittsburgh one was, he said. So, like, he's gotten – 6, 5, 5, 7 strikeouts last 4 starts, which he'll take, but I think he's probably just a streamer at this point now, Nola, especially in 12s.
Another massive drain on the budget here. It was a fun story out the gate, but I know even in the Discord, I think Ben Bingham mentioned he dropped Samad Taylor this past week. Samad Taylor is still rostered in 52% of OCs and 58% of mains, but I want to highlight that means his number is going down, which is great. I just want to highlight, though, he's been minus nearly $14. And it wasn't that long ago where it felt like he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. So wanted to throw that one out there, Ben. Any other names? I'll let you take the reins here before we move on to a listener question. But any names on these lists that you wanted to mention? Because we didn't hit on all of them. We've hit on some of these guys throughout the last couple of weeks. But I think it's just a good exercise. Like when we talk about players that are getting added, the old adage is, well, who are you dropping them for? And I think it's very important. And it's also important as the season goes along, like Andrew Vaughn's on this list. We talked about him last week. I've been like debating dropping him every week because he still just doesn't play. When he plays, he's awesome. He just doesn't play. So those are the discussions that I like having with these players. Any other players on this list that you want to bring up?
I'm pulling up his stats, but I think Sal Frelick should be dropped probably.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this number jumped because of the 8-game leak. He was a kind of a somewhat popular pickup. Just to fill in the week, but yeah, he's batting average at best.
Yeah, he's had 5 good weeks in a row of average, but that's basically it. So yeah, after this week, I could see him being a stream option. Noah Cameron should be much less rostered. I know he had a 2-star week, but I sat him where I had him in 15 despite the 2-star week, and he had a bad whip today, even though he got the win. So I think Cameron should be dropped after this week for sure. So I mentioned Abner Uribe. I'm surprised he's that highly rostered as a non-closer. That seems kind of wasteful to me.
Yep.
63% for the listeners. I think Endy's worth it. He's actually been playing really well lately.
Just landed on the IL, sadly, but yeah.
Yeah, I think, and then I know we talked about him maybe last week for the main event ads or the OC ads, but Walker Buehler should be dropped less rostered.
Fully
69%, not nice.
I think he has a two-step this week, so
double.
I bet you that number goes down next week.
Yeah, he's on the Padres.
Padres, yes.
Arizona, Toronto, so not the worst matchup.
It's not a bad two-step. Yeah.
Yeah, but after that, he should be gone.
He will be a drop city candidate, that is for sure. All right, we have a listener question in the Discord I want to get to from Mailman Mike. Quick one for you. Well, we already said it. These are all for 15s, by the way. Would you drop McLean? We said yes, right?
Yes.
Would you drop Cam Smith? Because I've dropped him in some and kept him in others because he's really not playing well.
Let me look.
He's a guy that everyone mentions the under the hood, and I'm at the point where the under hood doesn't matter because he's not producing. I'm just over all of
it. Yeah, I was looking at his under the hood back in like May because I had him in my home league and I finally dropped him. He actually has 4 homers the last 2 weeks, Cam Smith.
Like, I'm trying to hold. He's one of the perfect examples to me of what are you dropping them for?
I agree. I would try to. So he's on pace for 2020 with 70 runs, maybe mid upper 60s RBIs. He needs the average to get higher, but I would hold him if you've unless you have an obvious good replacement for Cam Smith, because he's going to play every day. He's not a platooner. I think I would hold him for now.
Yep, I can agree with that. And the last one from Mr. Mailman Mike. This one stings. Roki Sasaki, and like it's this one. I wondered if is it an overreaction or is this a reality? Is the question, because he was actually really good after the quote unquote changes he made, like really good for like probably 10 starts almost, give or take. But two of his last four starts, he's allowed 13 total earned runs. Like it's been a brutal four start stretch where there was like a really good like six or seven start stretch. So which Roki is it, Ben?
Nobody knows. So I can help Mike out pretty well, hopefully. I have Roki in the listener league and I have not dropped him. I've just been benching him. Mainly because I don't need that roster spot right now, because I have pretty good depth there pitching wise, so I haven't needed to make a move. Yeah, and we saw the upside of Roki before this last four start stretch, like you mentioned. Yeah, it's 19 runs in four games. That's pretty brutal. Underlying numbers look bad in the last 3 weeks. A 5% K minus walk, xFIP of 5.78, xERA of 5.44, xERA of 6.34. So he's as bad as he was before. But like I said, I'm not dropping him yet because it's a 15. I know the upside is there, but if he continues to just be this bad, then I give it a little bit longer before I drop Sasaki. Assuming that you don't need the, like if you are looking at lineups for next week or the week after, and you see, okay, I might have to play Sasaki because of whatever, then you might have to drop him for someone better, I think. But if you can afford to wait and see, I would do that.
Yeah, I'd be holding on for as long as possible. Unlike this person in Paul's league, where Roki was dropped in a 12-team NL only keeper, NL only, let alone keeper, that's a bold strategy. NL only is very tough to find a pulse, and to drop something like that, like I'm with you, Ben. I'd try to hold him and see if he can figure it out. Now, if you need the roster spot, we're at that point of the season. But I what he showed before this little four start stretch was really, really good. So I think they're like, maybe he's tipping pitches. Maybe it's just a minor thing. You'd hope they could be able to figure that out for him, but time will tell. All right, Ben, we're going to head out of here. Go catch some USA World Cup soccer. If anybody's watching the Astros Nationals game, it's 6-6 in the third inning with Mikolas and Burrows on the mound. We'd expect nothing less. It's just an insane bloodbath already. But any final thoughts, Ben, as week 16 is off and roaring?
Hopefully my guys are doing well, because I have some Astros and Nationals and some very important teams. So I'm looking forward to checking the box.
Luis Garcia just got an RBI double for you, so you're good.
Oh, all right, awesome. So that's helping my night get off to a good start.
I think of you and Ryan every time I see something happen from Luis Garcia.
He had it much worse than I did, though. At least I played him for the second half of that 1 week, and Ryan didn't, unfortunately.
Unfortunately is correct. But anyway, check out Ben on Twitter, @BreakingBen_T. We'll be back next week to recap the probably small fad period, because the All-Star break's coming up, and we'll think about something entertaining to keep you guys going throughout the week. And you can follow me on Twitter @BDentric. But until then, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 866. Catch you all next time.